I shall examine the former slaves, Drusilla and Messalina. At this, the yellow girls popped up with little squeaks of surprise, and I realized that these tarts must be two of the women we had been shipping to Havana. Well, here were the two final nails for Spring's coffin, but he never batted an eyelid as they were brought forward and sworn in by the clerk. The fellows on the public benches were nudging and muttering as the little beauties took their stand, like two butterflies, one pink and one yellow. "With permission, I shall examine them together and so save the court's valuable time," says Clitheroe. "As I understand it, both you young ladies speak English." The young ladies giggled, and the pink one says,
"Yes, sir, we both speak English, Drusilla and me."
"Very good. Now, if you will answer for both, Messalina, I believe you were in the Bay Islands a few months ago. What were you doing there?"
Messalina simpered.
"We was in a hoe house, sir."
"A what?"
"A hoe house. A knocking shop, sir."
She put her gloved hand up to her mouth and tittered, and the public slapped their thighs and guffawed. The adjudicator snapped for silence, and Clitheroe, looking uncomfortable, went on. "You were both employed in a whore house, I see. Now then, you were taken on a ship, were you not?" They both nodded. "Do you see here any of the men who were on that ship?" They looked around nervously. A voice near the back of the public benches called out, "Not me, honey, I was at home!" And a great hoot of mirth broke out and had to be quieted, the adjudicator threatening to clear the room if there was unseemly behavior. Then Messalina timidly pointed to Spring. And they both looked round at me and giggled. And Messalina said,
"That one, too, with the nice whiskers. He was awful kind to us."
"I see. These two men, Captain Spring and Mr. Comber, they and others took you on a ship. Where to?"
"Oh, to Havana. And then we was going on by another ship to Orleans, right here."
"I see. Did you know where you were going to in New Orleans?" They giggled.
"Miss Rivers, Hull House."
"I see." Clitheroe paused. "Now, girls, when you were in Roatan, what were you?"
"Please, sir, we was whores,"
giggled Drusilla. "Yes, yes, but what else? Were you free?"
"Oh, no, sir. We was slaves, weren't we, Druzy?" "Yes, sir, we's as slaves, all right."
"Thank you. And as slaves, you were sent aboard the ship to be taken to Havana."
"Oh, yes, sir."
Messalina smiled winningly at him. "Splendid." Clitheroe sat down and Anderson got up.
"A very moving story," says he. "Tell me, you first, Messalina dear, where were you born?"
"Why, Baton Rouge, sir."
"And you, Drusilla?"
"Nolene, sir."
"Indeed. Very interesting. And how did you come to be at Roatan?"
Messalina had been taken as the mistress of a wealthy planter visiting Cuba, but he had sold her, and Drusilla had been one of a party taken on a cruise by wealthy degenerates who had sold their doxies at various places in the Caribbean.
"So you are both American-born, and both born slaves?"
"Yes, sir."
"The other girls on the ship with you, were they also American-born?" "You don't know, of course not. And they have not been cited as witnesses in this case and can't be called now accordingly."
Anderson glanced knowingly across the court at Clitheroe, who was looking like a man who sees a ghost.
"May I refresh the court's memory by referring to the enactment of 1820?
He leafed through a large tome.
"Here we have it. Briefly, it defines as piracy and illegal slave trading."
He paused impressively.
"The transportation for enslavement of any colored person who is not already a slave under American law."